This podcast is recorded on Wiradjuri country. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land, the Wiradjuri people, and pay our respect to elders past and present, and extend our respect to all First Nations peoples listening today. Hello and welcome to the AgTech Finder podcast, where we hear from entrepreneurs at the forefront of innovation and the producers who use their technology on farm. I'm your host, Olivia Carver, and in the coming weeks, we'll be looking at everything from drones to data codes, animal monitoring to automation, and plenty in between. Many of the companies we speak with and the technology highlighted can be found on agtechfinder.com, a food agility CRC initiative and Australia's most comprehensive database of ag tech products. Today we're speaking about cutting-edge technology that monitors livestock health and methane emissions. Picture being able to breathalyze a cow to see if she's pregnant, or finding out about methane emissions when the steers eat at the trough. AgScent founder Bronwyn Darlington will talk about working with NASA and how this kind of non-invasive technology is a game changer.
So we know we have the solution. We know that it can work, but raising funds for anything this disruptive is quite challenging. And we're not just an app. So we're a device plus science, plus maths, plus technology, plus global.
We'll also talk to Simone Barakat from Number 8 Bio, a company developing feed additives to reduce methane emissions. They've been using AgScent's product AgScent Air to measure methane reduction during their trials.
Super easy to set up. We're getting that data real time. So that was fantastic for us to see that immediately, and you know, quality of that data is comparable to other tools. What's been fantastic as well is that at a more reasonably priced.
But first, we're joined once again by Food Agility CRC Chief Scientist David Lamb. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast once again, Dave. Can you tell us about how ag tech in the livestock diagnostics and monitoring
space it's a pleasure to be here.
Has developed over
the last
10
years have been really a watershed moment when it comes to ag tech with livestock in mind. I mean, we've been farming animals, that's humans that is, for about 11,000 years. And livestock farming has really worked because farmers have learned to understand and read animals literally one by one. But of course, today we're doing things at a much larger scale, and also, of course, not necessarily with animals living in the same house as we live. So it's really hard to keep an eye on things. So a lot of ag tech innovations in recent years has been really about remotely monitoring them. It could be tracking them using GPS or GNSS type tracking ear tags, observing them using cameras at water points, even observing their impact, for example, how much water they drink using flow meters, using satellite imagery to watch the biomass removal associated with grazing on the land and so forth. So given that animal performance indicators like weight gain, milk production, even carcass score are all important to profitability, there's work afoot to quantify these, you know, using cameras to understand the animal conformation as they move down a race, using walkover or front foot weighing devices in paddocks or at water points to track their weight gain, smart collars like they use for milking for dairy industry. And of course, today there's the emphasis on methane reduction devices to monitor methane emissions, such as smart supplement feeders and feed bins. And of course, genotyping and the link between performance metrics that I just mentioned and the genetic fingerprint. These are important pathways that are being developed, aided and abetted by ag tech.
And today we're talking about technology, particularly in that livestock diagnostic space, talking about new technology that can detect livestock pregnancies in non-invasive ways. What impact do you see livestock
the impact is going to be profound, because livestock farming, just like most other forms of farming, is pretty quickly becoming a one or two or maybe three person show. So that means that there's precious little time to be spending quality time with animals in situ. So the ability to remotely monitor them, to gather intelligence, to make forecasts around performance or pest disease pressure using online tools, that sort of deal. The ability to manage consignments and movement of animals from farm to farm or further down the supply chain into the value chain. All of these sort of systems, which are fueled by some form of ag tech, are going to make the life of livestock production so much easier given the challenges associated with a diminishing workforce.
Yeah, absolutely. And later today, we're also talking about technology that measures methane emissions, and that's something you've mentioned. Do you see there being a lot of growth in that space? Do you think there will be?
Livestock methane emissions are obviously front of mind in the policy at present. And a lot of momentum around methane reducing feed supplements, also even in identifying low emissions breeds. And there are some early indications they do exist out there, I might add. That momentum is absolutely in play. I think personally, in a nutshell, methane measuring devices and tech will initially focus on serving research and development questions. You know, for example, understanding the efficacy of certain feed supplementations and other management interventions that ultimately reduce methane's emissions footprint of our livestock sector, that's where the tech will go. Longer term, they may serve in a commercial sense what I would call accountability tech needs of producers. That is, the ability to somehow generate and provide data firsthand that indicates the emissions intensity of their animals, such as, you know, ascribing scores or ratings that accompany animals in consignment into the marketplace, you know, having a star rating like you get on your fridge, but for greenhouse gases on products or carbon, for example, that could be a future state. But this sort of technology is expensive and it's complex. And even as a scientist that's researching in this space myself, it is really tough stuff to master. It is not easy to use and get the best out of and reliable data out of this side of technology. So I don't see it appearing in the hands of every producer anytime soon. But if we can answer those research questions about efficacy and ultimately emissions levels associated with certain kinds of practice and certain class of livestock, then at least when we start hanging badges on our products as they move down the value chain, those badges will have some sort of scientific authority. That's the current state of play, and I believe personally that'll be the near future as well.
And what do you see as being some of the challenges when it comes to adoption of technology in this livestock diagnostics and monitoring space? You've mentioned cost, and I guess that's one that's always up there.
Without a doubt, it's my number one ranking as well, value for money and the return on investment. The primary challenge as I see at high level is the value for money for producers to invest in this technology. Simply adopting it on farm because it makes people down the value chain and consumers feel good won't cut it. If it's important to them, us, all of us consume, then we should pay for it. And if we're prepared to pay for it as consumers, then those returns need to find their way back to producers who, after all, want the best outcomes too. They just need a little bit of financial support to do it. So getting the return mechanisms to deliver the value back to our producers continues to be the big one when it comes to driving adoption.
Well, thank you so much, Dave, for joining us again.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Libby.
You're listening to the AgTech Finder podcast, helping you make confident technology decisions. Go to agtechfinder.com to search, sort and compare the latest in agricultural technology and find the right solution for your business.
We're now going to hear about technology described as disruptive when it comes to its potential impact on the livestock industry. Dr. Bronwyn Darlington is the founder of Agcent. She's an entrepreneur and a cattle and sheep farmer from the New South Wales Southern Tablelands. She also teaches a course on finding opportunity in disruptive technologies at the University of Sydney. And she explains that this, along with her experience in the cattle yards, led to the idea for Agcent.
I take the executive students to the US once a year for their executive MBA to look at where technologies are coming from out of both Silicon Valley, but really the major transformatory technologies, and to look at how that can really make a difference for businesses today, but in their horizon thinking. And it was while I was doing that in particular that I began to be exposed to really new technology breakthroughs for human, for space, for different sectors that bringing back to the cattle yards where we're preg testing animals with the vet the same way we've done forever, I began to see a pattern that was we're trying to feed the world, but we're not getting access to the truly transformatory technologies because they're being used for sectors that have a greater deal of money for which to develop them and to pay for them. And so it was looking at the molecular biology world and the new machines that can look into molecules and talking to some scientists who had seen a link to livestock and but had never been able to develop anything that worked. So it really came out of me thinking we have to make some particular breakthroughs. One is we actually need to be able to produce food with a lower carbon footprint, but a better environmental animal ethics, but also to provide tools for people who work in our sector that are safer, that are easier for women or anyone to use, and that we profitability comes from in our family's business. We're primary production, we're a breeding property. I have to produce a live calf. I have to be able to predict when it's going to be big enough to sell to the market, and I have to pick my time. So being able to connect what makes money with what technologies are coming is where it all started from. And so the key thing was to identify, well, what's the key unique part about cattle, of which I know quite a lot. And that was that breath diagnostics were beginning to emerge in human medical disease breakthroughs. And I thought, well, you know what? I figure as long as I can constrain the cow, I'm sure I can get some breath. I was a little naive because we realized that actually every cow breathes completely differently.
Really?
So it's begun this. Yeah. Who knew? I think heifers, honestly, I think heifers just, I don't know that they even breathe. I think they sort of just stand there and, I don't know, absorb air sometimes some random way. So it started in the cattle yards, but linked to where the future of technology actually is.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating how it all works. Can you sort of explain the two products that you've developed? So AgScent Breath and AgScent Air. Can you explain a bit how they work?
Yes, for sure. So the key central piece of what we do and how it works is to be able to take a breath sample from a cow. And again, they all do it differently. So we've had to invent a technology that can calibrate to every single cow breath and take this very last piece of end tidal breath, because we all work in rain, dust, fires, wind, freezing cold weather. It has to work in that environment. And again, cows are unique. So in its simplest form, it's like taking a human breath that we now know with COVID is not just innocuous. There's a lot that is in human breath. But to do that exactly within the same pattern of animal handling, except that for preg testing, instead of going to the back of the cow, the cow comes through the race into the head hold and it's held, and it takes about 7 to 10 seconds to take a cow's breath. That then you can take the breath collection, it's like a small bag, and you plug it into NASA sensors that were designed for human medical diagnostics for the Mars mission. I'll explain that in a minute too. But what it did by once we could identify, collect breath, we could analyze that using the same medical diagnostic technologies that they use for humans, gas chromatology, mass spectrometry. And what it does is just looks at the molecules, and we use a lot of neural networks for algorithm creation to see patterns. So we began to see that, yes, we could see molecules for pregnancy, and we could do that from day 18 post-insemination, but we could also see disease markers, and we could see methane. So methane is an interesting one because it's critical right now. And we then looked at, well, how can we participate in the whole of a cattle, sheep, or livestock business? What are the key breakthroughs to ensure that we can continue to supply to a market that's demanding a lot more information? And so we also created a methane sensing technology, but again, from the cattle producer's perspective. It's not about putting a cow in a chamber or having special feed. It's about making sure you can measure methane in your own animals. And again, being a breeding property, I'm super interested in genetics. Methane is up to 30% heritable. Interestingly, there's a lot that we can actually, they breathe out most of the methane. So for me, it was like, okay, I totally get we all need new inputs. Every primary producer now will go, no, we don't want any more new inputs. They cost too much. We don't get any return. So let's start with what we can do something about. One is we all have much more control of our own feed. So understanding how our own cattle actually respond to our own feed from a methane point of view gives us more control. And from a genetics point of view, understanding which animals actually have a higher natural emission level allows us to add that as a, I guess, another data point into our genetic selection. So we've created these two products. One, the methane marker, is we're embedding that in other existing infrastructure like the OptiWay, and working with Bill, which has just been fantastic from OptiWay, and embedding that in so that you have a remote weigh station that gives you more data points. And ultimately, we're going to layer that up with the disease diagnostics to create a full system for health measurement. The next key piece is the pregnancy, and that's a handheld device. And that we're just raising money at the moment, which is always challenging, but that will come to the market later this year.
Yeah, fantastic. And I imagine a sort of theme that we've spoken about with a lot of ag tech companies this season in particular is sort of that next horizon, next frontier for a lot of ag tech companies is looking at how data that they collect or their products collect will be able to be reportable. Is that something I imagine you envision the AgScent Air to be very useful for farmers in the future when they may have to be reporting their methane emissions to access certain markets or things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first product that we actually sold went to the US and has been used by a feed additive company to measure the effect of their additive on fixed herds with the data going directly to Walmart. So we've set everything up. I'm a real fan of saying, look, if my cows, is my animals, I need the data. And I really would appreciate it not being quite so curated as we often get. I'd like the raw data and I'd like to be able to make the decisions myself. So we've set everything up so that the data goes to the producer and then it's done in a way that can be transferred to whatever need is necessary. We were really interested to realize that the first product that went to the was sold in the US, the data went to Walmart, but that just tells you where this is all going. And reporting is the first step. Adaptation is actually the second. And the major supply chains are beginning to implement the requirement for reporting. So AgScent Air in particular gives primary producers an opportunity to, without having to handle the animals, if you want to put it in an OptiWay, or there are many other forms that we can actually support methane measurement, individual, small chambers, whatever. But the data is very much set up in a way that can be actually provided further upstream through the supply chain.
And can you give us a bit of a background on where these two technologies are up to and how trials are going? And
yeah, so I guess the one that people often want to find out about first is that where the technology with NASA is up to, and why even NASA? No, NASA is not planning on sending cows to space. But what they are doing is NASA has a remit because it is the American government to get a return on investment for every dollar spent in space, and food production is a really critical one. What that meant for us was that I could understand the molecules in breath that I was seeing from cattle, I could see the transference to humans, and I could see that the NASA sensors were being used on the space station and also for the Mars mission with similar, interestingly, some molecules we all have because we're mammals. So where we are up to is that we've now reproduced the NASA sensors. We have a commercial license with NASA. We've had that now for 3 years. We have a, weirdly, Space Act agreement because anything you do with NASA has the word space in it, even if it is for cows. And we've been trialed now. We've taken breath of over 5,000 cows and our NASA ENOS sensors, which is, if you think of it, it's like the digital camera, but for molecules in breath. That's the thing that we look at the breath with. And then have now between 89 and 92.5% accuracy at day 18 within 15 seconds of running the sensors. So you take the breath, you run the sensor, you have a diagnostic. So what we're doing now is that is going to take some robotics and some specific manufacturing because, again, this is all really biotech and space technology but put into the field. So that's why it will take us, and we're raising funds at the moment to be able to do that manufacturing to bring it to the market. And again, it's a global market straight from the beginning because with NASA we have to actually do a US at the same time as Australia. And with AgScent Air, it's in the market now, and we're beginning to work with different companies in creating bespoke solutions, because what we can do is put the air methane sensors into things like dairy troughs, into feed troughs. We can put it into places where animals come to. I'm a real fan of leapfrogging this thing where we have to keep interacting with animals. I think we need to create infrastructure that creates the collection of data and gives that to us wherever we are. We can't all drive, whether it's 10 kilometres onto your property or during the northern cattle system, 2 hours to check things out. Right? We need a lot more robotics and remoteness. So that is actually out in the market and ready to go.
Fantastic. So what sort of businesses, you mentioned the dairy industry, but can you give us a few more examples of what sort of businesses are using it so far?
At the moment, there is a focus on measurement and companies who are trying to develop methane mitigating solutions, or those who are beginning to realize they need to measure in order to secure the supply chains to the major buyers of their products. So we've really only just launched the methane products. We have also, we do it as a rental model because nobody in our sector needs another capital expense. And the methane sensing technology is a lot, what we've developed is a lot cheaper than any alternatives, but it's still expensive technology. And you really are ideally needing it for a baselining period of say 2 to 3 months. So creating a rental model. And so some early adopters are looking at it to be able to create breed values that relate to methane for themselves, for breeding systems. And so with the breath, it's still coming, but it's in very advanced stages of trials in Australia and America. And with that, the dairy industry, but also cattle breeders, feedlots, people who move cattle, anyone who's selling cattle for live export, they're the kind of use cases that we see. In addition, it's not actually species specific. So we have done early trials with sheep on being able to distinguish between singles, empties and twins. And we know from a biological point of view that the crossover is very much with pigs and goats. Funny enough, the Middle East is interested in camels, but we're also now doing disease work with bovine respiratory disease. So one single sample of breath, just like with COVID, gives you a lot of biodata, and we're now beginning to develop the other analytics and the other measurements that will give you one breath, multiple diagnostics. So that is very much for feed lots and for, again, transport of cattle and biosecurity.
Yeah, and that could become huge. I mean, even, you know, reading some news out over the weekend about bird flu getting into cattle herds in America and the US. Imagine, yeah, technology, if it can be applied in that way, would just be huge demand for.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exciting. We always ask this question, but I'm particularly interested in your answer because it seems like you've had to jump a lot of hurdles and be the first at a lot of things when it comes to developing this technology. But what have been the biggest challenges, you would say, in this development process? And also, I guess now it's coming out into the industry, any challenges with seeing it taken up by producers?
Yes. When I first started this, I thought a lot more would actually be known and that would be reproducible from academic work. So when I did my PhD, I had that awful experience of realizing that I couldn't reproduce the famous papers on which to build. So I come to everything with this skepticism and wanted to reproduce some of the science first to build on, realized we couldn't do it. So we have had to invent a lot more than I thought we would. And we've had to discover a lot more science, but that's given us an extraordinary foundation of confidence on which to build. Major hurdle at the beginning certainly was having to do all the discovery work and to do that with a traditional farming smell of an oily rag, but do it as well as the human medicine because we have to do that. Bridging the gap between the future technologies and the present problem has been challenging in it. Explaining how that can happen to not actually our sector. Farmers are so, how can I say it? They're characterized as not having the smarts that they have. They're characterized as not understanding the problems, but they do. And they're characterized as not wishing to be adopting new technologies, but they will if it does what it needs to do, what they need it to do. And so I've found some of the hurdles are the gatekeepers who don't realize farmers are a lot smarter than we're given credit for, truly. But the solutions need to be provided in a way that is from a farmer perspective and a producer with an absolute economic benefit explicit in what is provided. And the third challenge has always been funding. There is more money available for small things, but this is transformatory technology that will change the way we interact with animals and that we're able to do diagnostics. So it's been very difficult to be able to achieve the funding to the level that would make us move as fast as we can move. But also we're a global problem solver and the technology We're looking at and working now with the New South Wales government on providing a cooperative model for India, because cattle, there's more cows in India than anywhere. And what we can do is provide a solution that can actually be given out to farmers within a cooperative system. So we know we have the solution. We know that it can work, but raising funds for anything this disruptive is quite challenging. And we're not just an app. So we're a device plus science, plus maths, plus technology, plus global. So that's the trickiest part, I think, altogether.
Yeah, you haven't taken on a small project here.
Oh, no.
Whatsoever. No, well, thank you so much for joining us, Bronwyn. It's so exciting to hear about this sort of technology that, as you say, could be so disruptive. So we really appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Olivia. My pleasure entirely.
The Primex Field Days is one of the country's leading ag events in Casino, Northern New South Wales, from the 16th to the 18th of May. And you can be part of the action by joining AgTech Alley. Put your technology and solution on display for as little as $250, thanks to a subsidy from the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry. Putting leading suppliers together in one place with value-added opportunities like workshops and demonstrations to help you reach more customers. Book your spot by searching for Primex Field Days online.
We're now going to hear about how the newly available AgScent Air is working in practice. We're speaking to number 8 bio Simone Barakat about how they've been using the technology to trial the effectiveness of feed additives that they're developing to reduce methane emissions from livestock. Can you start by giving us a bit of background on number 8 bio?
Yeah, absolutely. So at number 8 bio, we're focusing on methane emissions as the most impactful and immediate way to tackle climate change. So by targeting these emissions, there's this incredible opportunity as well to boost animal productivity. So our main goal is to develop sustainable feed additives that cut down on that enteric methane in livestock in a way that really tackles the big hurdles we're seeing in the industry so far. So like by ensuring our solutions are highly scalable and affordable for farmers.
So can you tell us a little bit about how you're using the AgScent technology?
For sure. So we've been working with the AgScent team to set up several cattle trials at our demo site in New South Wales. We've installed AgScent Air sensors there, and we've been really happy with our results in the first trials so far. We saw a significant reduction in methane compared to consistent CO2 emissions, and alongside other data points like the RFID tag readings for the cattle being measured and a number of other things that's been super helpful for that first trial. Those first trials, it's been fantastic in that it's super easy to set up. We're getting that data real time. So that was fantastic for us to see that immediately, and quality of that data is comparable to other tools. What's been fantastic as well is that at a more reasonably priced.
So for you, it's obviously working to test out the additives you're using in your trials. How long do you have the sensor in the paddock or in the feedlot for when you're conducting your trials?
So it's actually been it's pretty much immediate. So we're seeing those results as they're consuming the feed additive. We're seeing that immediate reduction in the methane. And so it's been at that point of them eating. And the awesome thing is, we've been able to test a wide variety of formulations of our product, because we're really trying to narrow down on delivering the best solution for the producer.
Yeah, it sounds like it was lucky this technology came along when you were conducting your trials. What would you have done if this technology wasn't available? You said there were other tools out there?
That's right. Yeah. So there's a few other tools out in the market. And when we did look at the options there, we saw this as it's a non-invasive, quick setup process and more reasonably priced. And the quality of the data has been the same as some of those other solutions. So yeah, we're really stoked because it ticked all the boxes on what we needed for this trial.
And so it's just a box basically that sits out there in the paddock or feedlot?
Yes. So we have a few of them set up, and it was set up at the point of where they were eating the product. And so as they would have that eructation event, it would measure the emission levels there. And you could see that clear difference between control group and those eating the treatment. So it was clear as day for us. Yeah, it was really, really handy.
And how do you access the data it's collecting on methane emissions?
So there is they have a software platform where we can access the data for the different sensors. From there, you can see all the different data points that they're collecting and sort of pick and choose what you want to have on a visualize and have on a graph. And so that's where you can compare several data points from the one sensor or cross sensors, which has been extremely handy. And that can also be exported as a report, which, as you can imagine, has been very helpful post-trial.
Were there any challenges or anything you had to work through with using the AgScent technology?
On the whole, we had a really great experience. It was quite smooth. I guess the only challenge would probably be like any tech on farm, you know, there's a level of maintenance that's required. So, you know, a bit of cleaning out of the tubes where the air is captured, that's we've had to do. But on the whole, that was extremely simple and, yeah, kind of to be expected.
And with Number 8 Bio as well, who do you see as being the early adopters of the additives you're producing? What sort of producers are they?
Yeah, great question. So in the first instance, the product version number one, it will be ideal for being mixed into a DMR or a partial mix ration. It can also be in a liquid format. So really we're seeing that the feedlot or dairy scenario being ideal. But in the long term, this can easily be formulated into a loose liquid lip block. So there'll be future iterations which will make more sense for like extensive grazing iterations as well.
That's all for episode 25. Thanks for joining us.
You can search and compare hundreds of ag tech solutions, including some of the ones you've heard about today, on agtechfinder.com to find the right product for your business. If you love the podcast, don't forget to leave us a review and click subscribe to follow along.